Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to another podcast. My name is Colby Shinaki, and today you're going to be listening in on a conversation between my friend Hope Moquin and I. But before we get into that, all that I ask is that if this podcast speaks to you, if it encourages you in any way, all that I ask is that you subscribe, leave a rating, and a review. That really helps me to reach as many people with this podcast as possible. But with that being out of the way, I hope you enjoy today's podcast. I've never done this before. I don't think in all my years of doing stuff with people, I have never done a like an introduction or like a setup with somebody, like an interview.
Really?
I don't think I've ever like truly done, like I've done panels at churches and stuff like that, but I've never done like this. And this is really interesting for me. It's really cool.
Okay, first time for everything.
I know, first time. Have you ever done something like this over the phone?
Yeah, I've done quite a few podcasts. Majority of them are over the phone.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I've never done anything like this. But so you and I, we've been friends for a while.
I know, like 4 or 5 years.
But like, it's weird. You know how I met you? You were like the. Not over the top. You were like the super happy greeter at Free Chapel when I went there the first time at like Free Chapel. Yeah, my family and I, we went to Free Chapel on a Sunday service, and like you were just super happy.
Wait, that is so funny.
Yeah, the first time I ever went to Free Chapel, you walked me and my family to our seats.
Oh, wait, that's so sweet. See, then, I started out as a greeter.
Yeah, then you tried to get me involved in the college program.
Sounds about right.
Like it was a whole process. Like you walked me to the table, then we came at, like out after service, and then you walked me to the booth to like sign up for everything. I think I signed up specifically for the shirt.
Wait, yeah, I remember you told me you weren't going to come to the college, and I was like, whatever.
Yeah, but that was a friendship,
and it's look at us now.
It's super crazy, and so you work at Free Chapel still?
Yes, I do. I've been there for almost 3 years now.
Jeez, that's crazy. What do you do now? Like you said, you started out as a greeter, but what do you do now? Also, your name is Hope Moquin. I don't think I've actually said that on here yet, but
yep, I am Hope. I started as a greeter, and then now I'm the associate director for student life at Free Chapel College, and so been a long journey.
That's super cool. That's really cool. Yeah, it has been a long journey. You've kind of moved up, but you've also done something that I have always wanted to do, and I'm kind of jealous and envious over it. But so you're 23?
23, yes.
You're 23, and you already have written a book.
All right. You can write a book too.
No. That's like, you're an incredible writer. And so like, you've done that, and I'm definitely envious of that. And so like, how was that kind of experience for you?
Yeah, that took me about 3 years. I finished the whole thing and then I deleted it twice, like emptied the trash can icon, deleted.
Wow.
And so it was a super long journey, just because like it is on my story and I share a lot of vulnerable and real parts of my story. And I just had to make sure that I was writing it from a place of total healing, mm-hmm. which is why I had to delete it twice. And so it was a long journey, but really happy that I was able to get it out there and just let the world in to all of my struggles and exposing my life to point people to Jesus.
How has that been for you? Like the idea of just like, I think, well, Noah and I were talking about this earlier, just in the sense of like being completely genuine with yourself and just like how has that been to kind of put that on like pen and paper and just like kind of exposing yourself in a way? Like, was it like a freeing feeling?
Yeah, I think that anytime someone chooses to be honest and open with their struggles, like you're always opening up the door for judgment and for people's opinions. But at the same time, you're also opening up the door for other people to feel comfortable in being themselves too. And so it's like, for me, I can't change anything that has happened in my life. Like, yeah. I can't go back and fix anything. And so I can either accept it and use it to help other people, or I can live in shame about it. And so for me, it's been extremely freeing, just to own who I am and the story that God has given me, and just really kind of like smack the devil in the face with everything that he meant for bad and use it for good. I think it's super enjoyable.
Yeah, that's so cool. I can't believe you had to rewrite it 3 times.
Yeah, I know. Welcome to my life.
Jeez. Are you a perfectionist? Because I am.
Yes, 100%. And so like when you're publishing a book, it's like you can't go out there and like edit it and delete it like once it's already published. So like you have to make sure that like it is what it is.
Yeah. No, that's nuts. So I'm definitely jealous of you because of that. And so I'm just gonna throw that out there and be honest.
That's your day is coming too.
One day I will have a book out. That is one of my dreams. It's like on my bucket list to write a book. So
I'm gonna hold you to it.
I hope so. I need somebody to hold me to it. But so I contacted you a while ago, just the idea of setting this whole thing up, and it's super cool. Like I love, like, so you're in Georgia and I'm in Florida, and so like our relationship and our friendship is kind of weird. Like we're not in touch every day, but we're in touch every now and then, which is fine. But I messaged you the other day, just the idea of being on this podcast and talking about something that you're passionate about. And I think it's something that we're both passionate about, honestly, the idea of relationships and that whole journey and endeavor. I think we're both kind of on that, but I think we've both been through a lot of stuff and picked up a lot of wisdom and stuff along the way to help whoever's listening to this podcast out. And so we wanted to talk about this idea of like dating and relationships. And I wrote down a few questions, and just kind of the place to start with that is a few questions that I've gotten over the course of time, which is why do you think it's such a struggle for people to find a healthy relationship? Like in this day and age, like for you, like answering that question, why would you think that it is such a struggle for people to find a healthy relationship?
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest struggles is that some people might disagree with it, but I think internally we all have a desire to see the best in somebody, and we all will always look at the best parts of somebody and kind of overlook the reality of some people's lives. And so therefore, we will see the good things in somebody or the potential of what somebody can be.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we get so gung-ho over. And that's the thing that we end up falling for. And we neglect and ignore the reality of who people are. And it's not that like they're bad people, but like, let's say that someone is like super strong in their faith, or they come off as that way. And so like they're in church and it's like, oh yes, they're in church. Like this is definitely going to be my husband. But then like you ignore how they gossip, you ignore how they treat their mom, and like you ignore how they treat their waiter, just like small stuff like that, because we have a desire to see the best in people and it puts blinders on our eyes to see the reality of people. And so I think it's just a struggle to find yourself in a healthy relationship, because we are such a fast-paced generation that we don't want to take the time to slowly get to actually know somebody.
Yeah.
And we'll just take the first good thing about somebody, and that's what we'll put on the forefront of our minds. Like, oh, this is who they are. And like, we just don't take the time to get to know people. And so we rush into stuff and then we fall on our faces.
It's true. I think I have found myself doing that so many times. It's not even funny. Like throughout my life, like God and I had a deal. Like you and I were talking about this just the other day, but like God and I had a deal when I was 16. I prayed my heart out saying like, God, I'm going to either be married or be talking to my wife by age 22. Right.
Right.
And like we were good. We were like, we had that deal. And like, throughout this entire process, I talked to different girls, and there was this one girl in particular that like everybody thought we were going to get married. We really thought we were going to get married. And then, well, here I am, I'm almost 24 and I'm single. And like, God really, really fell through on that half of the deal.
Right.
But like what it's done for me is like, I think my point that I'm trying to make is like, as you're growing up in that state specifically, like high school or like early high school when like everybody's like dating and getting together up until like college, and like you like this idea that you have to have your life figured out, like something that does get thrown into that, like that whole thing is like who you're going to be with. Like, are you going to be married? Are you going to be doing life with somebody or dating somebody by that time? And I think that there's this rush that in this deadline that has to be met by that time, and it kind of freaks everybody out. And so, and that's what happened to me. Like when I had made it up in my mind so much that like I was going to be married or talking to my wife by 22. So I went all in on the girl that I was talking to, and that devastated me. But I'm here 2 years later, and it's something that's super cool, because it's like I don't want to say dodge a bullet, because she's an amazing person, but like we just had different paths and different dreams in life. And so like one thing that I've noticed too is like we have these like events throughout the year, and I think everybody knows about them, but the idea of like cuffing season and like having somebody specifically for the end of the year, you know, like I think that there's this pressure that kind of comes on the world with like you have to have a relationship in those times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there's just so many things that this world puts on you with like finding the right person, that it becomes less about finding the person and more about just having somebody, you know? And so like you said, you start to overlook the things that are in a relationship, like the real things about it. Like, can you communicate with each other? Like, how do they treat their parents? Which is something that I found out, which is really important. Like, I just found that out recently, that like,
yeah,
that like people truly do look at specifically how you talk to your mother, you know? So right. that's news to me. And, but just this idea of like this deadline. So you stop looking at the things that you should be looking at, like the communicators and how somebody argues, like, well, like do they argue or do they run? Like, you know, like do they have it made up in their mind that there's no option of like running away, or do they like truly dive into the relationship and chase after mm-hmm. it with everything? So like I think we look over the things that we should be focusing on just for the sake of having somebody for these events that the world is so pressing about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you also said something just the other day, and I thought it was incredible, but and I want you to like kind of expand on it a little bit. But you said like a lot of people like are willing to compromise their boundaries because they have a fear of rejection. And so I think that's incredibly like important. So do you want to expand on that just a little bit?
Yeah, I said that because I have struggled with that. I think in probably every relationship, if I'll be honest, is that being a generation that lacks love in so many areas, that we're always searching for acceptance, and that whether we want to admit it or not, we are willing to do anything that we can to receive love from somebody and acceptance from somebody that we want to be with. And so it's when you're in a relationship with somebody, you finally have like your person, you finally have your companion. So you guys are moving in the right direction for the thing that you've always wanted your whole life. And so whenever tough things come up, you have an inward fear of like, oh my gosh, if I don't do this, am I going to mess up this thing that I have going that I know that I want? And so then when it comes time for difficult decisions, whether that be sexual boundaries, whether that be family boundaries, there's so many different types of boundaries. Don't stay true to yourself in a sense, because you have such a fear that this person's going to leave. But what I've done wrong, and I think every relationship is that, because I've dealt with rejection my whole life. I've dealt with abandonment my whole life. So when I'm attached to somebody, it's like, I'm willing to give up parts of me to keep this person, which is so unhealthy, which I've had to like go to counseling for and get that sorted out. But I think if people can just really stay true to their values and really keep on the forefront of their mind of what's important to them and the values that they hold and who they are in Christ, that people would be able to make decisions a lot more clear. Because when you know what you value, then you're always going to know what decisions to make. And whenever fear creeps in, whenever that idea of being rejected or abandoned creeps in, it's like we have to refocus our mind on mm-hmm. what our values is. Because at the end of the day, if this is the person that you're supposed to be with, then they will absolutely respect your boundaries and will respect your answers. And if they don't, then that gives you your clarity of who that person is and if you guys should be together or not, because you don't want somebody who's going to disrespect your boundaries. You don't want somebody who's going to make you feel small for having boundaries. You don't want somebody who makes you feel timid and like you're wrong for having boundaries. You need someone who's going to support you. And honestly, someone who's going to help set boundaries with you, so you're not the only person setting boundaries. Because if you are the only person setting boundaries, then you are the only leader in that relationship. And a relationship can't just be one person setting their fate. That has to be two people working together. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong.
No, that's like, that's incredible. I love that. My uncle, I stole this quote from him a long time ago, and I hope he's not going to call me out for stealing it, but I've always said it, but when your values are clear, your decisions are easy. You know, they're not easy to make, but they're easy when you know the clarity of the decision you're supposed to make. And so so when you said that's what came to my mind, and that's so true. But yeah, I love that. I love the idea of, like, you just said, like, setting boundaries together. And that's something that's like, I don't think it's talked about enough, honestly. Like, I think the idea of coming into a relationship with your set boundaries is incredibly important, but also, like, establishing early on in the relationship, like, boundaries together and holding each other accountable in that is, like, detrimental to a relationship too. I think you both need to be on the same page with the boundaries that you set. So that was what stuck out to me too. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the next question that I wrote down is, what has been, like, the biggest changes in how you viewed a relationship from when you were younger to how you are now, knowing, like with what you've gone through and where you've been, just like, what has changed in the way that you view relationships from when you were younger to how you view it now?
Oh my gosh.
That's a loaded one.
It is, because it's so different. I think, my upbringing, and then when I became a Christian to working in ministry where I'm at now, it has changed so many times. Because before I became a Christian, I never saw myself getting married or relationships or anything like that. I was like, heck no. Okay. And then when I was like very stone cold, whatever. I needed the Lord. And so after I became a Christian, it's like I got thrown into that church culture of, like, oh, if you're in ministry, you need to get married really soon so you can start doing ministry with your spouse. And I was very confused, because I was like, I don't think I'm ready for this. And so I went through that phase of feeling pressured of, like, oh, I need to get married. And then I got engaged for a short season, and then I ended that because
you
I was like,
engaged?
I'm not. Yeah. No yeah. Way. I thought that you knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Like two and a half years ago. And so I got engaged, but that was like a whole other conversation just on compromise and just me being disobedient to the Lord.
Yeah.
And so got out of that, and then I got another relationship. And so, like, whatever, I'm single now. And looking back, it's like, if I knew what I know now back then, I would have saved not only myself so much heartbreak, but so many other people heartbreak, because I wasn't caring about other people, and I was living in a lot of selfish ways, or I was living in a lot of pressured ways. And so therefore I was just trying to find my husband, in a sense, because that's what the world was telling me I needed to do. And so, like, now I'm in this season where it's like, I know very well what I want in somebody and very well what I need in somebody. And it's at the place where it's like, I am tired and hurting other people and hurting myself and trying to mold something together with my human hands, when really I'm at a place where I'm going to sit tight, going to pursue my life and the call of God on my life. Mm-hmm. And when the Lord wants to bring someone, then I will know, because it's going to be easy. It's going to be from the Lord, and it's not going to be something that I try to create. And it's like, I'm so happy. Finally, like, I understand now when people are like, oh, like, I was so satisfied and I was so content in who I was that I didn't need somebody. And it's like, this is the first time in my life where I've, like, genuinely been able to say that. So it's like, I'm done, like, trying to look for somebody, because then whatever I, like, create with my human hands, I have to maintain with my human hands. And I'm not that smart and I'm not that wise.
That's a quote.
Yes, it is. And so it's like, I'm just going to sit and be still and hang out with Jesus. And I know that sounds Christianese, but I don't really care.
I love that. No, it's like, I don't know. It's like, life is weird, right?
Yeah.
Growing up, like when you first started having that desire to like have somebody, when dating and relationships became like a thing that was on the forefront of your mind. Like for me, like I wanted somebody, you know, I wanted to be the kid with a girlfriend. And I think that was the goal in high school, you know, like, oh, Colby, he's got a girlfriend and stuff like who you were dating and going to the football games and stuff like that. And then, like I was saying before, there's just this demand that the world puts on people of like having your life figured out. Right. And with that, in the mix of that is the idea of who you're going to marry, like I said before. And it just becomes this demand. And what I've realized in life from when I was younger until now is like, the world puts so many demands on you that aren't really there. Like just because I think it was Craig Groeschel that said this. Love Craig Groeschel. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about like loud doesn't mean important in the sense of the things that are screaming at you, it like urgent doesn't necessarily signify importance. Like when things are going crazy, often the things that are like distractions and the things that are going to set you back over time are going to be the things that scream at you the loudest. And so like for me, one of the biggest pills that I've had to swallow is the idea that, like, I'm not in a rush. Like God's got it, you know? And as much as that's easy to say, it's so hard to live out, you know, the idea of like God's got this, and you're sitting here and you're 24 and it's like, God,
are you sure
you got this, you know? And so my biggest struggle, if I'm being like candid, if I'm being vulnerable, and like, I'm in this constant perpetual like cycle of like, I want the one. Like I want to wait for the one. I want the one like now though, you know? But like, I'm also in this other state where it's like I want someone right now too, you know? So it's like loneliness is a thing. And like the idea of being known by somebody, for like somebody to hear what's going on in your life, somebody to hear what like your thoughts are and like how your life is going. Like that's a craving for everybody in a sense. Like everybody craves to be known. And the sense of that is like, I want that person right now, you know, I want someone right now, but I'm also in this state of, like I just said, just like, I truly do want the one right now. So it's like, I think there's a lot of people out there that are kind of stuck in that perpetual cycle of like, I want the one and I'm willing to wait, but I'm also like the next day or like a few hours later, it's like, I just want someone, you know, I like anybody will do. And so like just the idea of like someone to talk to, and especially with the demands of the world with cuffing season and stuff like that, it's like your like bar, like you kind of compromise for that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's something that has been a huge pill for me to swallow, but just the idea of like really giving God that, you know, it has been probably the hardest thing. And I still struggle with it. Like, I'm not going to say I'm the best at it, but like giving God like my future person and like trusting that he's going to bring her into my life at the right time, you know, like you also have to answer yourself the question, like, am I ready? You know?
Right.
And that's an entirely different conversation when you have to like humble yourself and it's like, God, where's the right one? And he's just like, you're not even ready yet, you know? And that's kind of been a struggle for me, but I'm getting through it. And, I'm trusting God. But then, so I just talked about the one, right? And that goes into the next question of like, I think a lot of people want to know the answer to this and know really just an opinion about this, but do you believe in the one?
Okay. So that is the most asked question, I think, like in the history of questions when it comes to relationships. Because another thing with our generation is that we're all control freaks. Like, everyone wants to be in control all the time. And so it's like, if I can know that there is the one, then it's like I can get my hands on it and I can run full force with it. And I'm like, No, I personally don't believe in there is one specific person that the Lord destined for you to be with, and if you don't end up with them, then your whole life is messed up. Because one, that puts way too much like hope in us. That puts way too much pressure on us that we are smart enough to walk throughout life and to figure out who that one person is and to actually make it happen. And then on the other side of it, I'm going to get like really like weird, but it's like, if you don't end up with this one person that you believe God has for you, then that means to say, because you didn't end up with that person, that means that person is out of the will of God. And whoever that person married is out of the will of God. And everybody's out of the will of God. And like, that's just not how God works. And so like, he gives us free will.
Yeah.
And it's like, there is like a level of trust that the Lord has with us. And so like, he gives us the free will. If we're walking in alignment with him, if we are walking hand in hand with Jesus, then we are close to him. He's living inside of us. We are beginning to resemble and reflect the characteristics of Christ. Then we're going to be desiring characteristics of Christ in someone else. And so he gives us a sense of trust of looking for that person who's going to compliment us and that person who's actually going to help build the kingdom if you guys were together. And so it's like, he gives us free will to choose. And it's like, I think that's like a comforting thing to know that like the pressure's off. Like the pressure's off. And I think that's something that a lot of people need to hear is that like, you're not pressured and like, you're not on this timetable of figuring out this one person that God has for you. It's like, you actually get to choose, but whatever decision you do make, that's a decision you get to be held accountable with and that you are signing up in a covenant with. And so take your time, don't rush into it, and choose wisely. So that is my 2 cents.
I get that. I think like 100% agree. Like I've had the idea of the one, like that idea in my mind was kind of dispelled a long time ago. Because like when you do start thinking of it and like you think of the consequences of sin and you think of like the consequences of missing out on purpose and calling, like it's true, you can, you know, like sin does close doors. And the idea that you could miss out on the one person that God made for you, like that idea started to kind of not make sense in my mind. I believe that there's a bunch of the ones, you know. I think there's better and worse options, you know. I think that like there are going to be some that compliment you, like you said, more than others do. And like the Bible says, like man will plan his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And I think that even goes into marriage. Like you choose who you're going to marry. And I think that like you can, it is possible in my mind for you to settle for somebody that was outside of the will of God, you know, because of free will.
Right.
Obviously God works through all of that and he works all good things together for the good of those who love him. But through that, there is still free will. And I agree with what you say. Like, I don't necessarily believe in the one, I believe in the ones, you know? And so,
right.
But yeah, no, I think that, but honestly, that's a freeing thought. Like you just said too, like when you realize like that it's not really necessarily possible to miss out on that very one person that God had for you, it does kind of free you up to be able to wait, like I was saying, for him to bring the that person into your life, which is a really freeing thought. And I'll be honest, this is the next question, and I'm going to call myself out. I don't do this as much as I should. I really don't. I'm really bad at it.
Right.
I forget. Like I always do. It's and so like, do you pray for your future spouse?
Oh.
I don't. I don't.
honestly, here's why. So I do not because in the past, if I can just put myself on blast for a second, is that I would pray for my future self. And then whenever I would be in a relationship or whenever like I began to catch feelings, my prayers would kind of shift specifically for that person. Mm. And then every time that would end, I'd have to go in my journals and like rip out all these pages from all these people who I know I'm never going to be with. And so it's like, honestly, I don't even try anymore. And so like, I will pray like in my own personal time, like, Lord, like, whoever I do end up with, like, I pray that you keep them in your will, like, blah, 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 like, stuff like that. But as far as, like, intentional, like, prayers, man, I gave up on that because I got tired of ripping out the pages of my journal.
Same though. Like, okay. Like I think we do this thing as humans where like the moment we're in a relationship or the moment we like find someone that catches our eye, it's like instantly, this is the one that God has for us. Like, this is the person that I'm going to marry. Greatest person in the world. And you overlook so many things. And like, you're right. Like, your prayers do start to shift when you can add a face to it, you know? And mm-hmm. So what I do is, I guess it's a lot like you. Like, I do pray. Like, when I pray for my future spouse, I don't necessarily, I also think it adds false expectations, you know?
Yeah.
I think when you start praying, you're praying for exactly what you want, not necessarily what God wants.
That's a quote.
Right. And so, you create this false narrative and these false expectations that you end up placing on people, and you can end up writing people off because of what you prayed for, you know? And mm-hmm. So like, I do believe that God gives you the desires of your heart, but I also think that's also conjoined with his desires and with following and being obedient to him, like your desires shift. And so, one, I think it creates false expectations, but the other thing is that like, I do pray for like protection, and I do pray for like that they're like being faithful and obedient in what God's calling them to in their lives, you know, and, mm-hmm. that they have the mentality that they're unwilling to settle. So I don't necessarily pray for a specific things as much as I pray for an overall, like keep them in your will type of thing, like you just said.
Right.
But we're coming down to the very end. I like to keep my podcast a little shorter. I like the idea that people can just listen quickly. I don't think people's attention spans are as long as we think, you know?
Yeah, no, that's good. I don't think anyone listens to like hour long stuff.
No, I mean, as much as I love talking, but I think people like just don't have the attention span for it. Or like, I find myself like listening to podcasts and then a song will like come into my head and I'm like, oh, I gotta listen to that. And I'll be like,
yes,
I'll flip the podcast
too.
Over to like a jam and I'll just like forget all about the podcast.
I did that this morning.
Did you?
Yes. Sorry, Christine Payne.
So kind of bringing this to a close and like landing the plane, if you had to leave somebody with some sort of advice, like knowing what you know about relationships now, what would you tell that person?
I would tell them, like, from the bottom of my heart, that there is no rush and that the standards and the expectations that you have for your future spouse are absolutely attainable, and that if you trust God enough to wait, then he will absolutely bring that person to you, and that your values and that your standards and that your desires, that they do matter and that they're worth holding on to. And you should hold on to them for your dear life, and don't neglect them. Don't compromise them, because they're there for a reason. And yeah. God absolutely wants to honor them and bring you somebody who's going to honor them too. And so don't ever shrink back in who you are for somebody else, and don't ever let go of the things that are important to you for somebody else, because at the end of the day, people are temporary. Life is unpredictable, but your values and your standards, those are who you are, and you need to keep them.
That's amazing. I love that. Well, Hope, thank you so much for doing this. I am going to link your book somewhere, because I really do think people should read it. I have personally not read it, so I'm going to order it and read it. But I definitely would love to do that. And yeah, just thank you so much. I love it. And it's also an excuse for us to talk. It's so fun.
I know. Oh, thank you so much, Colby. Love you so much.